23 days away from the 2024 presidential polls. Hashtag Stop Galamsey Now still on. You're welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, minority in parliament demands full-scale probe and prosecution of company alleged to have repackaged 22,000 bags of expired rice and distributed same to senior high schools across the country.
Where there ought to be prosecution. The company laments, I have intercepted documents where they have admitted to their wrongdoing and agreed to pay a fine, a paltry fine of 100,000 cedis.
Well, all institutions concerned have so far declined speaking to us, but we'll get to hear from the Education Ministry on this. Also tonight, the reasoning behind the 5-2 Apex Court decision ready. The 109-page ruling says an MP seat can only be vacated if they switch political parties in Parliament. Plus, why Justice Amadou Tanko believes the decision is an aberration to the established and accepted judicial position of the Apex Court. We want to stay for extracts of the reasoning of the views of the justices. An electoral commission tonight commences nationwide transfer of parliamentary ballot books to the various holding centres across the country.
So far, so good. At least we have our eyes fixed on the ball.
Satisfied?
Oh yeah, it's okay. You can see a couple of constituencies are done.
And in business, Chamber of Petroleum Consumers projects marginal reduction in fuel prices at the pumps in the coming days.
In sports, Niger thrashed Sudan to hand Ghana lifeline in AFCON 2025 qualifiers.
And then we have our constituency lens. The battle for Ayawaso Central parliamentary seat heats up as voters pile pressure for a stronger city and a robust economy, with both NPP and NDC vowing to capture the seat.
Somebody should prompt our vice president that we did not vote for him for what? Digitalization. Apps can't do anything for us for now. What we need is food on the table.
Plus, we hit the campaign trail and former President John Dramani Mahama is at it again, taking on President Akufo-Addo. Well, we hit the campaign trail shortly. And it's finally here, is the Joy Prime Made in Ghana Fair, the one-stop destination that guarantees the proper Ghana experience, display of Ghanaian inventions and rich culture.
Everyone here is very excited, and as I look around, I see beautiful things, and wherever you are, I believe you should come and enjoy with us, be a part of this celebration of Ghanaian creativity and craftsmanship.
I'll give you details of the launch and live at the Good Park at the Accra Mall. That and more here on Newsnight. I am Emefa Apau. Please do join us with your thoughts. Your comments is via WhatsApp is 055-11-11997. We are live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM, live on myjoyonline.com. X Spaces, we're there. You can. And tonight we start off with that story that's got many parents concerned. Parents, guardians alike have been hitting us about the safety of their children at the various senior high schools, because tonight the minority in parliament is also demanding a full-scale probe into allegations that a company has repackaged 22,000 bags of expired rice and distributed same to senior high schools and some school feeding caterers across the country. Well, according to the North Tongue MP, Samuel Okudjetua Blakwa, who's been publishing the information, the FDA investigated the company for illegal repackaging of the rice imported from India and imposed an administrative charge of 100,000 cedis, a charge the company has paid half of and allegedly refused to pay the rest. Ms. Ablakwa also claimed this consignment of expired rice has already been consumed by students in senior high schools. Listen.
My investigation has revealed that the National Food Buffer Stock Company clearly conspired with a company known as Lamens Africa Investments Limited. And they use the buffer stock storage facility in Kumasi, in the Ashanti region, to repackage expired rice. They bought in rice from India. The brand is Moshosho Rice, which expired in December 2023. That was the best before date. They then conspired with a buffer stock company to use their premises for rebagging. So they obtained different bags this time with the inscription ECOWAS, made in Ghana rice, without an expiry date. And they transferred the expired rice into these bags. Fortunately, there was a tip-off to the Ashanti Regional Police Command and the FDA.
Right.
They moved in and sought to prevent the whole criminal conduct from continuing. So the police closed down the place. I have intercepted letters that the Ashanti Regional Police wrote to the FDA asking that the samples that they had retrieved from this criminal enterprise be tested. Will you believe that before the test results will arrive from Accra FDA on the 6th of February, instructions came from above that the expired contaminated rice should be distributed and sent to the schools. So as we speak, all the 22,000 bags of rice that the police sought to contain and confiscate have been sent to the schools. And I have the distribution list where schools, including my own alma mater, Presec, signed and received these rice.
Well, Mr. Ablakwa, who is also the former Deputy Minister for Education and currently chairing the Parliament's Assurance Committee, says the company and other players found to be culpable in the distribution of these alleged expired rice to schools must be dealt with in accordance with the law.
We are at a point where there ought to be prosecution. The company laments, I have intercepted documents where they have admitted to their wrongdoing and agreed to pay a fine, a paltry fine of 100,000 cedis. When you have jeopardized the health of thousands of Ghanaian students, and even the fine, they've only paid half, and they can't be located to pay the rest. Can you believe that? And what makes this whole scandal so frightening, so traumatizing, is that the FDA results shows that the rice was so contaminated. It had insects. It had a very high fat acidity. And medical doctors who have seen the FDA test results say that this rice should have been destroyed. It's not even good for animals.
Well, Mr. Ablakwa, you are MP and head of the Assurances Committee in Parliament. What further steps are you taking on the matter?
So, we have discussed, we've had a meeting with the leadership of our caucus. I've also had discussions with the leadership of the Education Committee and members of my committee. We are collaborating on this. We are immediately demanding that the IGP arrest the directors of Laments, Investments Africa Limited, and then we are demanding questions. We are demanding answers to these questions. Why is it that the FDA, the Ashanti Regional Police Command, their work was truncated, orders from above, and they were not allowed to destroy the rice? We need answers. Why did the food and buffer store company conspire with Laments to use their premises for this criminal enterprise? Why did the food and buffer store company not register their premise, their storage facility, with the FDA as the Public Health Act at 851 requires? So if you look at the chain, there are so many institutions who have questions to answer, who have let our students down, have let parents down, have let the Ghanaian people down. And in the next few days, we are going to be demanding answers to these questions.
That's the North Tong MP, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, who is also the chairman of the Government Assurances Committee in Parliament. A number of institutions and companies have been mentioned in this particular interview he had with my colleague, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson, on the Midday News. And the National Food Buffer Store Company, at least Key, we've been speaking to them. We're told, we've been hearing, trying to actually reach them, I should say. And as it stands now, they say they will not comment for now and will put out a statement in due course. We've also reached the Food and Drugs Authority, which conducted the initial investigations into the matter and even imposed an administrative charge on the company, from what we are told. They've also declined comments as of now. They tell me they will issue a statement in due course. But we've not been able to reach Laments Africa Investment Limited, the company which is allegedly involved in repackaging expired rice imported from India and delivering to our schools. We are told this happened in February. But thankfully, the Ministry of Education PRO Kwesi Kwarteng is joining us here on Newsnight. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight, Mr. Kwa Ting. So tell me, since this story broke, I'm sure you've been working and trying to find out what exactly is this, really, what's your initial briefing when it comes to this issue?
Thank you very much, MFA. Let me state that the ministry's attention has been drawn to the allegations that has been made by the Honorable Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa. Of course, in the face value, I must admit that there's a positive feedback for the Ministry of Education in terms of how we can be able to use this feedback to be able to improve on our services so far as education is concerned. It is important that we retreat, that we take these allegations very seriously. And even based on that, we have immediately commenced a full investigation into it. It is important to understand that the ministry by itself do not engage in food distribution and supply, and that the agencies that are responsible for these activities has to do with the National Food and Buffer Stock Company, NAFCO, and the Ghana Exchange, Ghana Commodity Exchange. As of now, we have reached out to these agencies that are responsible for the supply and distribution of food to senior high schools, particularly with regards to buffer stock. And we are jointly looking into the concerns or the matters that has been raised. Of course, we need certain responses from them. We need some commentary from them, even administratively. Of course, on that note, we also even call on state institutions, particularly the Ghana Police Service and all other relevant state institutions, to also commence an investigation so that it does not necessarily become a one-party investigation affair. But the most important thing is that we take the feedback as a very positive feedback. We are glad that the Honorable Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa is bringing this to our notice. And we are working on it. Indeed, we assure parents, guardians, and the general public that the ministry remains committed in protecting the health and safety of our students, those under our care, irrespective of where they find themselves, whether the junior high school, the basic school, and the senior high schools. And consequently, we pursue this matter and ensure that the safety and well-being of our students stands paramount. At no point will the Ministry of Education countenance on some of these unscrupulous activities, no matter who is involved or who is behind. Most important thing is that we are very much convinced that at the end of the investigation, we should be able to get to the bottom of this, and if necessary, pierce the veil and get to know the individuals or the personalities behind this unscrupulous activities that has happened. But of course,
Kwesi, in getting to know the unscrupulous persons that you talk about, how about starting with Laments Africa Investment Limited, the company we're told are the heart of this particular controversy? Have we reached out to them? What exactly is your story? Have we heard anything? Do they actually distribute food to these schools? What shows that it is not happening now as we speak? Have we reached out? What exactly are they telling the ministry?
Yes, so like I indicated earlier, the Ministry of Education, it is not within our mandate to even engage food suppliers.
I know that, but you should be concerned that suppliers are actually sending expired food to schools. Our children are eating it. So I'm asking if we've actually reached out to Laments Africa Investment to start with as part of your initial or preliminary investigation.
That is why I indicated that the agency responsible for dealing with Laments and all other associated suppliers, we have quickly reached out to them. That is the buffer stock. For now, what I can say is that we have reached out to buffer stock, we have reached out to GCX, and we have commenced investigation into that. That, for me, has to be the preliminary comment that we can make to this. And, like, most importantly, I indicated, we are committed in getting to the bottom of this. I am excited that ultimately other state institutions are also interested in this matter, because clearly, I mean, on the face value, assuming the concerns or the allegations that has been raised are valid, then it's a purely a criminal matter, which I am very certain that we collaborate with the Ghana Police Service to be able to make sure that we bring the perpetrators to book, and all of them also face the full rigors of the law.
Well,
at the end of the day,
as we speak, Kwesi, just before we came on air, a few parents were here today asking about the safety of their children in schools. Have you been able to identify all the schools that may have consumed this expired rice? Are there specific actions that will be taking? Are we checking the stock that they have today? Is it that it is still not happening? Have we checked? What exactly is the situation?
I mean, like, rightfully, as you broke the story, these are allegations that has been leveled. Of course, I'm unable to dispute the fact that has been raised, particularly when I don't have any counterfacts to it. But most importantly, until investigation concludes, you are unable to respond to, I mean, some of these very valid questions that you raised. And I'm sure it is even a more reason why the ministry itself has taken it upon itself to also commence investigation into it. Other than that, I would just be speculating and creating assumptions that will not be based on any concrete evidence or fact. And I am assuring you, I'm assuring Ghanaians, I'm assuring the general public that this is a very important and urgent issue. And we are going to look into it and make sure that we get to the bottom of it and brief the public accordingly. Because, I mean, at no point should any person, any organization, any company be engaged or involved in this. If we have the opportunity to be working with government through the buffer stock company, I do not agree that that should become a license for you not to only exploit government and even the students, but also to harm them, assuming without admitting those allegations are founded. But I think we'll be able to get more clearer details if we are able to investigate it fully or when investigation terminates.
Okay. We're grateful. And definitely, this is a story that we'll be watching closely. Kwesi Kwarteng is the PRO of the Ministry of Education. Thank you so much for joining us. Thankfully, we also have the National Secretary of the Conference of Heads of Assisted Schools, Primus Barrow, also joining us. We're grateful for your time here on Newsnight, Mr. Barrow. So over the period, we've been talking about the quality of food that is fed to our children. And today, it is emerging, at least the allegation that we're hearing is that some expired rice was rebagged and distributed across the country. I'm sure this is a story that you've heard. What exactly are the steps that we're taking, or maybe your initial reaction first, then we'll talk about the details.
Good evening to you, and good evening to your listeners and Mr. Kwarteng. I must be frank with you. I have hopped from one meeting to the other since yesterday, and I'm even on my way back to my station when I had a call from Joy to speak to this issue. My initial comments will be that, as Mr. Kwarteng rightly put it, and before man and God, I wouldn't want to pull the horse before the cart. This is the first time. This is the first time I'm actually hearing this story. I mean, since we started having this emergency distribution of food items, since we reopened, frankly, the situation has not been very stabilized. We've conversed with the minister on the issue, and some steps have been taken in the past few days to beef up the food supply in the schools. I myself, it's just only yesterday I received a number of bags of rice. And I have not, actually, I have not reached the school, mm-hmm. and I have not seen what has been supplied. This is actually the first time I'm getting this information from Joy News.
Okay.
And I just pray. I am praying, and I want to believe wholeheartedly that this story turns out not to be true. If it turns out to be true, then that this will go down as one of the most unfortunate incidents as far as feeding in our schools is concerned. And a lot more questions and a lot more issues will emanate from it. So I will not want to comment on it. It's an assignment for me. I'm not sure my president has heard of it. We spoke this evening, but we didn't even, I'm not sure he has had any indication of that because he would have mentioned it. So it's also an assignment beyond this call. We also call our colleagues across the country, our leadership across the country to find out what the issue is. Mm. I don't know whether when the issue was coming up, whether some specific regions were mentioned, where Lamens particularly is supplied. I don't know where exactly he's supplying. If they were mentioned, that would have made our work easier. I can assure you that we're also going to keep a very close eye on this issue. This definitely cannot be a secret that anybody will want to put under the carpet.
Okay.
I can only urge that our colleagues who are affected by this issue should boldly come out, and then I'm sure the ministry, as Mr. Kwating has rightly put it, the ministry themselves will have an interest in dealing with the issue appropriately.
Well,
that's my initial comment on this.
Okay, yeah. So from what he told my colleague, at least from what Mr. Okudjetua Blakwa told my colleague Mamisi, it does appear that is a bit more prevalent in the Greater Accra region. He talked about a distribution point at Presec, amongst others. But have you heard about ECOWAS Made in Ghana rice?
I have not heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Yes. So that's what we're told, that that's how it is branded. But what's the state? Because since the story broke, though, we've been hearing from a number of parents who are calling in, wondering about the kinds of food that you're feeding our children as we speak. What's the state, the current state of the food? What would you say? How would you describe it?
You mean the general state of food in our schools?
Exactly.
Well, it's, I must say that, as has always been the case, it cannot be a uniform situation.
Mm.
But generally speaking, what I can say is that our members have complained bitterly about the supply of food items since the reopening of schools. We haven't made that, we have not started with the issue as national officers. We have engaged our director general. In fact, as I talk, there's an official communication to that effect, which I know by tomorrow morning it should hit them.
Okay.
So we are asking that more food should be supplied. Especially what is true, and I can speak for Upper West in particular, mm-hmm. because we are still collating the issues. That's why today we could not even finalize the official combination. We are trying to get the coalition from across the country. But in most cases, what is happening is that it is rice that is going around the schools. Most schools, Upper West, for example, aside rice now, we do not have any food item. Virtually, do we have any of the cereals? And that is a big challenge for us. Other regions may have. Because of, number one, who supplies, because we have different suppliers supplying the regions and all some other reasons. But generally, it is the picture is not as good as we want it to be.
Okay.
There are challenges in that respect, that much I know. But I cannot put percentages, I cannot put figures to that. By tomorrow, we shall have a very good idea of what the picture is. But generally, I can say that generally, the supply of food items to school is not what we expect. Something needs to be done more urgently.
Well, but just before I let you off, though, do you know about Lamens Africa Investment Limited?
Oh, sure. I know about Lamens. They've supplied our region some time ago. Yeah, some time passed. For now, they are not supplying our region. They don't supply my school. Yes, but I know of Lamens as one of the suppliers, you know, to buffer stock. Yes.
Okay. Ms. Abaro, we are grateful.
Yes,
that's the National Secretary for the Conference of Heads of Assisted Schools there, interacting with us on that allegation put out by the North Tongu MP, Samuel Okudjetua Blakwa. And of course, the ministry is giving assurances that they are actually looking into this matter and will give us updates as and when we get it. But just before I bring in George, we are learning this evening about the details of that Supreme Court ruling or judgment this week, and they've provided a detailed explanation for its decision to uphold the suit brought by Majority Leader Alexander Afenyo-Markin. Well, according to the Apex Court, a member of parliament is deemed to have vacated their seat if they change their political affiliation and continue to serve in parliament under a new party identity. Well, this ruling also supports the suit filed by the Majority Leader, clarifying that the relevant constitutional provisions apply only within the current term of parliament. Well, the 109-page document also goes on that the court specified that Articles 97, 1, G and H of the Constitution does not extend to future parliamentary terms, such as when NP runs for election under a different political party in subsequent elections. Well, the Supreme Court emphasized that an MP seat must be vacated if they switch parties while holding office within the same parliamentary term. In other words, changing political affiliation during a parliamentary term while remaining in parliament will lead to the loss of their seat. Other portions also address the situation for independent MPs, making it clear that if an independent MP joins a political party while serving their current term, they must vacate their seat. The ruling elaborates that the constitutional provisions should be viewed in the context of the existing term of parliament. While they do not intend to also regulate future candidacies or the electoral ambitions of MPs who wish to contest under different political parties in the future. Now, it follows from the above, therefore, that the only plausible conclusion, which must necessarily flow from a holistic and contextual reading of Article 97(1)(g) and H, is that an MP's seat shall be vacated upon departure from the cohort of his elected party in parliament to join another party in parliament while seeking to remain in that parliament as a member of the new party. So that's been the justification that that 5-2 decision is giving, at least on the side of the five. Now, we also have extracts of the dissenting views, the two on this matter. Justice Amadou Tanko is one of the two, and I quote portions of his writing. Or the reasoning in that judgment is that I do not hasten to proclaim that I have apprehended with despair the majority's conclusion in this suit, but I state with utmost deference to the Honourable Chief Justice and the rest of my brethren in the majority that not only do I fundamentally disagree with their conclusion, I, with all due respect, also find the decision an aberration to the established and accepted judicial position of this court, which with profound respect, I hope, in no distant future, the resultant usurpation of the constitutional prerogative of a high court incidental to the majority decision will be reversed. These are just extracts of the 109-paged reasoning of the Supreme Court 5-2 decision this week. And we're breaking it down more for you, for your understanding. There's more also on myjoyonline.com. on this. George,
To quote your expression always that you use, I mean, the blow-by-blow detail account, you know, of yes. this thing to let us appreciate. I mean, you always find these rulings very interesting to see how some of the judges really stand by, I mean, their position and decision with respect to how they are convinced that that is the way to go. And they will never miss the point why they think that it should go that way.
Exactly.
Well, MFA coming up in business, Chamber of Petroleum Consumers projects marginal reduction in prices of petroleum products at the pumps in the coming days. And Cedi strengthens further against the dollar as Bank of Ghana continues with improved market support program. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business, Kingdom Books and Stationers, and this thanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal. You welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers is projecting some marginal reduction in fuel prices in the coming days. Fuel prices should be expected to be reviewed from the 16th of this month in line with the bi-weekly adjustment of prices. Now, if that happens, it could be the first time in several months that prices have gone down at the pumps. Duncan Amo is Executive Secretary of the Chamber.
For the coming window in the second window in November, prices at the pumps, from what we have gathered the data available to us now, indicates that fuel prices could ease between about 3 to 5% across board. But again, this would definitely be on condition that the city does not depreciate any further from where it is currently.
Duncan Amwa is the executive secretary of the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers. And talk about the local currency. The city continues with this good run against the dollar for the fourth day running this week. But what is accounting for this, and is this sustainable? There is more in this report.
Some of the commercial banks are linking this development to improved dollar support coming from the Bank of Ghana. Local currency, which was actually depreciating every day from last month, has seen some sudden turnaround. From this week, its rate of depreciation has slowed significantly, while in some cases, it has posted some stability against the US dollar. The central bank has also been very heavy on the market in terms of dollar support. The Bank of Ghana has used several options available to offer dollars to the commercial banks and businesses. One can talk about the spot option as well as the 7-day dollar sale. All these measures have improved dollars on the market to deal with the liquidity concerns last month. Economist Professor Lord Mays, on his part, has told Joy Business that he thinks we've seen the worst for the city already for the year. He's therefore expecting some good run in the coming days. The high demand for Christmas import appears to be slowing down. Bloomberg News portal, for instance, puts the amount that has been pushed onto the market by the Bank of Ghana during this period as around $240 million.
And that is a Business Dex report. Now, is the issuance of treasury bills in the coming days under threat? Now, that's the question on the minds of a lot of market watchers. Now, this was after the Office of the Attorney General was there with an application seeking to stop government from raising funds through treasury bills unless it secures prior approval from Parliament. Now, private legal practitioner Jonathan Amable tells Joy Business he expects government to put a freeze on all fundraising activities through this route.
The Supreme Court has already held that treasury bills and bonds are borrowings. In the case of Paco against the Attorney General, the Supreme Court has already held that. And the further thing is that when you have the treasury bills and the bonds, the Supreme Court has held that any contract which is concluded in contravention of Article 181 is void. And okay. Nobody can deny any benefit from it.
So, counsel, has the registry given a date to begin hearing?
No. So, the practice of the Supreme Court nowadays is that you file your application. When the Attorney General is served, then the registrar will now issue a hearing notice with a date for the hearing of the application. The bailiffs have confirmed that the government has been served. And so, we are expecting that tomorrow there wouldn't be any activity in terms of issuing treasury bills for settlement on Monday until the court has been able to determine the matter.
So will you cite the Attorney General for contempt of court if they go ahead to issue bonds?
I mean, I will consult my lawyers if then the government should go ahead and do that. But I mean, recent history has shown that the government, if you look at what happened with Parliament and all of that, the government,
right,
they understand the situation that once the application is filed, their hands are stayed. So I don't think it will come to that.
Jonathan Amable is a private legal practitioner who has taken government to court over the issuance of treasury bills unless it secures approval from Parliament. Speaking to my colleague Pius Kojubaka on Marketplace on Joy News this afternoon. Now, Absa Bank Ghana is making commitment to reverse the global perception on business ethics and sustainability, which indicates that many employees have no proper ethics at their work environment. Managing Director of Absa Ghana, Edward Bochi, says that the situation is a setback. He's been speaking at the Business Ethics Network Conference closing session in Accra today.
The Global Business Ethics Survey, 87% of employees do not think that the workplace culture has high ethics. 87%. Now, that is a big number, and clearly it speaks to the work that needs to be done if we are going to achieve our aim of ensuring that there's ethics in business. However, this challenge does also present to us opportunities. Opportunity for us to take the lead and to make a difference in the institutions in which we do work.
Managing Director of Absa Ghana, Edward Bochi. If you should turn attention to the stock market, and if you are holding the shares of MTN Ghana, it was up by 3 pesos today. And at the end of trading, each share is now worth 2 Ghana cedis. 36 pesos. If you've also invested on the Ghana Stock Exchange, the returns is now more than 48%. Now, that could be the best return on the market today compared to other investment instruments in the country today. And that's all for business on Newsnight. Back to you. Or come to Daniel Cranton with sports. And if any good news for Ghana?
Yeah, Niger is thrashed Sudan 4-0 to move above Ghana into third place in Group F of the AFCON qualifying. Sudan, who needed just a point to secure qualification to the competition, will now have to avoid defeat against Angola to qualify for the AFCON. The result comes as a boost for Ghana, who take on Angola tomorrow night, needing a win to keep their chances alive. Any result other than a win in tomorrow's game will end Ghana's chances of booking an 11th straight AFCON appearance. Now, the Black Stars, they will hold their final training session at 8 p.m. tonight ahead of tomorrow's game against Angola in Luanda. All 23 players are expected to be present after defender Ebenezer Annan joined the team earlier today. Kickoff for tomorrow's game is at 7 p.m. And MFA will need the prayers of every Ghanaian.
Prayers, bar. Okay, we'll see how that goes. Thank you very much, Danny Cranton. I'll take you to the election headquarters pretty shortly. But we've been talking about that Supreme Court judgment and the reasoning behind that particular judgment. And just in, we've been seeing a statement on the Facebook page of Thaddeus, the lawyer for the speaker, and portions of it reads: the Supreme Court's decision released this afternoon is interesting. The majority decision raises a number of legal issues. Since this is a public and not legal platform, I will discuss the most basic but fundamental issue for debate. In every case before the court's final judgment is based on the case presented to the court contained in the original papers filed by the plaintiff before the court. If the facts on which the plaintiff initially presented their case to the court changes and they want the court's decision to reflect the changed circumstances, they must formally change the original case by way of an amendment. The Supreme Court rules allow the plaintiff to amend their statement of case. And this particular reaction is titled, "There is no order against the speaker." And he concludes by saying, I'm sure you get to read the entire portion of it on my journal online and also on his Facebook page. He says, "There is no order saying that the MPs must be allowed in parliament or order directing that parliament recognize the said MPs as earlier ordered by the court contained in the majority decision of the court. The order staying execution of the speaker's ruling is now spent." And he concludes by saying, "So, Mr. Plaintiff Tantalus, on my mind." I'm sure the lawyers and the legal brains know that. But let me take you to the election headquarters now.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development, Syntex Tanks, Aya Strong, Aya Tough, and Potential Real Estate, your trusted partner in real estate.
And with only 22 days until the presidential and parliamentary elections, voters in the Ayawaso Central constituency are intensifying pressure on political parties to present clear, actionable plans to address their top concerns: a resilient economy, a stronger city, enhanced security, and improved sanitation. In this edition of Constituency Lens, Carlos Caloni takes us to the heart of Ayawaso Central here in the capital.
This is one of the constituencies that has remained loyal to the Elephant family since 1996. The NDC has never won this constituency. The current MP, Henry Korte, won this for a second term with 52.89%. But with a projected voter population of 74,912, according to Ghana Report Election Data Center, will the NDC be lucky this time? We don't know. But what are the issues on the heart of electorate here in the Ayawaso Central constituency as the 2024 election approaches?
For me, I think we are going to vote based on our economic issues. And if you could remember, during 2016, they campaigned about the economic thing, issues. So it's the same thing you're going to watch, to vote against them out. Because now we are buying KK for here at Circle, 7 cities. It's too much. Even Circle here, you can't get even common fish, 10 cities.
Nobody can get three square meals a day to eat. So I look at my pocket once I can vote.
But some will also argue that you probably have kids and your kids are benefiting from the free SHS. Yes. So that is also an angle you should look at.
I cannot say it's fully free senior high school. Because why? We pay the essence fee, we pay this chair, essence fee, and everything we have to pay.
What I'm looking at to vote this term is the economy. I've been here for more than 15 years, no, 20 years, and I have realized the bad one, the good one, and the ugly. And I must say that this current one is the ugly one, because the problem that we are facing is too much. You come to town and you cannot even raise 100 cedis in a month or in a week, which is, of course, very bad. Again, you go home, your electricity is high. Every 5 days, I have to buy electricity, 50 Ghana cedis. I'm a family of four. I only have fridge and TV, and it's too bad. One, when it's come to security, for here, I cannot say much because we have an MP who has been an interior minister for over 12 years. Our street lights are not working, starting from Odor Rice to Pick Farm. Sometimes you don't take care, before you realize you've used your car to hit somebody. Our security system here is bad, especially when it comes to what the street light, it's not working. Now, let me talk about the economy. When our vice president was then in opposition, he was saying that somebody was incompetent. At that time, the dollar was 4 point something. Kenke was 1 cedis, 50 pesos. Today, Kenke is 7 cedis. It's 7 cedis, 10 cedis. Where I used to use 7 cedis to buy food, today when I go there, I have to use 30 Ghana cedis. And at that time too, he was saying that that man was incompetent. Today, that same man that we are touting today as a digital man, he never built a digital center nor a data center. But people are channeling, praising him. Meanwhile, he has run away from his responsibilities. He is an economist. We are asking him today, dollar is 17 point something. Somebody should prompt our vice president that we did not vote for him for what? Digitalization. Apps can't do anything for us. For now, what we need is food on the table.
Now, away from the street, what are the concerns of market women also here in the Malam Ata market?
The issue about the school and the lights. The lights, too, they said they have brought another new this thing, and it's running fast. So this year for the election, we want us to change the bill for us.
Education is what is worrying me particular.
What do you want done about education?
I want them to do that free essay. Me particular. I don't like it because it's more than we pay the school fees. It's more than we pay the school fees because bring this thing, if you make the total, it's higher than free education.
Well, indeed, the NDC and the MPP have also outlined how they intend to address these concerns. But the big question is, will this proposed solution from the two parties influence voter decision here in the Ayawaso Central constituency? My name, as always, is Carlos Kaloni.
And that's our constituency lens. You want to catch the full episode at 8 p.m. on the Joy News channel. Stay a while longer in the election headquarters. And the Electoral Commission has begun the 6-day process of transferring ballots for the parliamentary elections from printing facilities across the country. Michael Lashali joins me in studio. Michael, what are we learning? What did you find?
So from the Greater Accra region, we move from InnoLink to the Greater Accra Regional Command, where the political parties dividing themselves amongst the various constituents. This is just for the parliamentary ballot, I must say. And they went through, they looked at the seals that came from the printing house. They'll break it, look at the content, check the serial numbers of the ballots. When they are done, they'll seal it again with new serial numbers. Then when that is done, then they keep it in the armory of the police. Then on the 7th or the 6th of December, they'll go for it. Mm. Then you and I will have the opportunity to put our thumbprint on it at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, we can't wait for details of that. And also tonight, the Ghana Anti-Corruption Coalition is demanding more political commitment in the fight against corruption. Another broad campaign called Pledge Against Corruption, the consortium of CSOs working to fight corruption, say they would want political party manifesto to deal with issues of corruption. We can hear from some of them.
We see that it's a big challenge. Citizens who are daring to report corruption have an issue because at the end of the day, they don't have enough evidence to support. So we spoke extensively to most of the political parties on this, that we need the law that supports this. So that if I say, for instance, Beauty is corrupt, Beauty the public officer has done something that needs to be investigated. We should not wait for her to give us all the evidence to support. And I remember the current president made that commitment as well sometime. But that's what's under the bridge for us now. That was not done.
Talk about inflation and the dollar exchange.
we underrate the extent to which corruption contributes to it. Because if a project is costing 10 cities, mm-hmm. and I'm doing it for 15 cities because the politicians want it that way, I'm actually taking more money out of the system than is due. And I have a higher disposable income. And therefore, I can spend that money. And that can cause inflation.
Mm-hmm. First of all, the manifestos, as we've seen them, none of them actually, for most of them are fake on corruption, really.
You were there, Franklin Cudjoe. Earlier also you heard David Ofosu-Dorte and then Mary Ada. Well, today's forum is beginning to yield results as some of the political parties going into the elections have pledged to fight corruption if given the opportunity. The representatives at the Pledge Against Corruption Forum also pointed out to some unique constraints inhibiting their fight against corruption. And we have X Spaces tonight for your election headquarters, where we are focusing on the NPP. Blessed Suga will be interacting with Richard Ahiagba on our X-Spaces. You will want to catch that. Now on the campaign show, former President John Dramani Mahama has once again criticized President Akufo-Addo for a statue erected in his honor. The NDC presidential candidate says if he had focused on self-promotion like the president, statues of him would be seen everywhere across the country. Listen to him speak at the Western North region.
Now, I want to ask you to be a person. Start to be a person. As for him,
to all they know is building statues when you have not left office. It is your good works that should speak for you and earn you praise. If that's the case, I might as well place my statue at every project I have completed. Look at where he, Akufo-Addo, has placed his statue around projects that are still unfinished.
And so here, baby, on this statue, look, see ya. And you more, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Hospital, I'm going to see. Hospital name, yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. Interchange now, yes, you know. China for no, yeah, yeah. Tabra de market settle, a jano, yeah, yeah. A quite no pony run about a statue, this is no, yeah, yeah.
For them, the damage done to the country seems to be enough. We, however, will protect what is left.
And that's former President John Dramani Mahama to the camp of the NPP, and the party's presidential candidate, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, continues to boast of the successful implementation of the free senior high school policy, saying that his government has proven doubters wrong. He's been speaking at a stakeholder engagement in Bosumtree.
Na sedi ya Ghana ekono na ye nkoda abebre enya kwan enko senior high school na abeye sikasem.
Secondary education was a very difficult thing for the poor. That is why the MPP decided to implement free senior high school. We have successfully implemented the policy and we are seeing great results. Our doubters, we have proven our doubters wrong. The NDC didn't believe we can do this, but here we are. My government will do more to improve the free senior high school policy and also introduce new initiatives to make it better.
Baku 5.7 million children across senior high school free.
That's Dr. Mahmood Bawumia. Now, let me give you a reason to get to the good park for the next 3 days. And it's finally here. It's the Joy Prime Made in Ghana Fair. And we had the official launch today. And it's been made possible by Joy Prime's Made in Ghana, which was officially launched. There are over 90 business owners which are participating in the fair will promote and project their locally produced products and creations, and also attract potential investors. You know where to be the next 3 days. Michelle Ejekum joins us on the line. We are not talking Big Chef today. We are talking Made in Ghana Fair. Michelle, tell us more.
Hey, Mepa.
Hi, Michelle. What's happening? You are at the Good Park shopping and shopping. Tell us more.
Yes, so just like you said, we launched the meeting, the Joy Prime Made in Ghana Fair today, earlier today, and since that time, we've seen a number of people come in to shop. Trust me, from food to clothing to accessories, everything you need is here. And you know, this is something I call, this is one I call the pre-sale for Christmas. You know, Christmas is right around the corner, and we're thinking of buying our rice, our oil, all the clothing you want to wear for the Christmas parties. And here's where you can get all of them at discounted prices. Well, one thing I have seen that has stood out for me so far is beads. In fact, I saw the beads on a well-shaped mannequin, you know, giving the hourglass figure. And I mean, I was like, okay, this is actually my second time seeing it. I thought it was a special, you know, thing that is crafted for people. But I realized it's something on the market. So we have beads here. We have clothing, made in Ghana clothing here. Handmade clothing are here. There are also plastics being displayed. There are products for hair, skin. Everything is here, food and all. Okay. Now, tomorrow, we'll be having the happy hour. So after work, you're listening. Make sure that you're passing by the Good Park. Come, let's have fun. So while you shop, we'll be having some music, food, and, of course, the known DJs, that people that we admire so much, the DJs that we admire.
And I'm sure Mercury will be there.
Yes, okay. Mercury will be here. DJ Icon will also be here. We'll be playing through and through. You know, on Fridays, how we love to have the Friday hangouts. We're going to do the hangouts right here at Good Park. And then on Saturday, we're going to have the fashion show that will be showcasing the Ghanaian-made fabric and designs that we do now for our engagement.
And I'm told our general manager drove that electric vehicle on display there.
Oh, yes, he did.
Okay. I can't wait to have a test drive, too. And more reasons why we need to be at the Good Park. Michelle, don't enjoy alone and don't shop alone. I'll join you soon. For the next 3 days, where to be? The place to be, actually, is the Good Park for the Joy Prime Made in Ghana Fair. And we know that the Office of the Registrar of Companies also at the fair to offer free expert advice to business owners as well. So it's the Joy Prime Made in Ghana Fair. Joy FM wants to own it, but it's a Joy Prime Made in Ghana Fair. The next 3 days at the Good Park, you can't miss it. And that's how we end today's edition of News Night here on Joy 99.7 FM. Personality Profile with Lexis Bill is up next. We are hosting Nanekia Amen Sabunsu. MD Prime Time Limited is a prime time production. You want to stay for that? I'm MFA Pau. Have a good evening.